This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
CNC Drive Factory with Chris and Cam. In the studio with us now is Michelle McClurg. Michelle is a certified dog behaviourist and has a little business called The Art of Dog Training. She's not here to pimp herself. She's actually here because she's got a good cause to work with, and anything to do with looking after puppies is something that I think we can get behind. Welcome to Joy, Michelle.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, Chris.
Now, Michelle, you are a certified dog behaviourist. How long have you been doing that sort of thing?
I got certified in around 2009, I think it was, or 2010. Can't quite remember.
How does one go about getting certified as a dog behaviourist?
Well, the thing is, I've been working with dogs all my life, and I've had a passion for animals for a long time. My actual career background is engineering.
Okay.
So when I made the career change, my partner at the time said, you know what, you should inquire into see how you can become certified. So there's a place, an organisation called the National Dog Trainers Federation, and you can get a Certificate 3.
Okay.
In dog training and behaviour.
Right.
So that's how you go about it. It's, I forget now. It's quite a process. You do it part-time, but you also then have to have 100 contact hours with a certified trainer.
Okay, yep.
So they certify.
So it's you. It's any sort of training and development at the Cert 3 level, very similar areas and ways of qualifying. It's just but then they just adapt it to the to the dog training.
Yep.
Fantastic. Now, what's some of the more interesting stuff that's happened to you since you've been working with dogs as an actual behaviourist?
What do you mean by interesting?
Well, maybe some of the more surprising things that you've come across.
With dog owners?
Well, yeah, that's a good start.
Okay, usually more surprising.
Okay. I get plenty of surprises. I'm a strong follower of Caesar Millan.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing with Caesar Millan, there's millions of people who love him, and then there's the controversy around his methods.
Yeah.
So I guess interesting is I get a contrast of reactions on the street. So when I'm walking a pack of 9 dogs in mm-hmm. South Yarra, you kind of stand out.
Yes.
And, I get the contrast of, really putting a smile on people's faces. And then I get the contrast of abuse of telling me I'm taking up the whole footpath and how dare I.
Righto.
And then when I actually have to correct a dog, you know, when you walk a pack of dogs like that, you want to be in control.
Yes.
So there's some who try and play up. And I will mention that a lot of the dogs I walk actually are dogs who are reactive with their owners.
Right. Okay.
So they're not your happy, a lot of them aren't your happy-go-lucky.
So they've been brought to you to walk because they're actually looking for help.
Because they've got behavioural issues, right? Okay. So every now and then they need a correction. So some of the interesting things is I get called, a dog abuser.
Okay,
But really, anyone who understands, like I get people tooting the horn and giving me the thumbs up and, mostly I bring smiles to people's faces.
Fantastic, yes. Yeah.
And I guess interesting, I'll give you a case that's kind of interesting that just comes to mind because I was there last night. In a 2-hour session, I've been able to help a family who's just got a newborn coming on the way. And she was actually really struggling to walk this little schnauzer, miniature schnauzer. Basically thinks he owns the place. He's a terrier, so mm-hmm. they're a very tenacious breed. You want to be on top of them. And it doesn't take much to set rules and boundaries. Walked in the house the first time and gave the dog a correction, and both the couple looked at me and went, oh, wow, And then that was it. I didn't have to correct the dog again. I visited them for the second time yesterday, and they are over the moon.
Right. Okay.
Over the moon with just the difference in the dog, the confidence level in the woman who's, you know, her energy levels are quite low at the moment. She's got a baby due in 3 months, and her concerns were around the baby.
Yeah, right. As lots of parents are concerned that because our puppies tend to see us as having to give them 100% of our attention all of the time, and nothing less is good enough.
Mm.
Obviously, having a baby come into the house is a worry because you don't know how your puppy's going to react.
Yeah, And I guess the thing, when you talk about interesting, I think the biggest thing for me is the most interesting and challenging thing for me has been communicating and educating people with the difference between humans mm-hmm. and dogs.
Yeah.
And the biggest difference is that a dog is a pack animal.
Yep.
Now, and with packs, they need a really stable structure. And if you watch a pack of dogs, like you just watch a mother with a litter, she's communicating to her litter of pups every moment. Now, she communicates with posture, with sound, with touch. You know, and basically everything the mum's doing is communicating to the puppies, that's good, that's not good, you know.
Yeah.
And what I found is my biggest challenge is communicating to people in the way of, as much as I absolutely adore dogs, I left an engineering career to do what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. I absolutely adore them, and I have a real affinity, particularly for rescues, you know, your hard cases who would ordinarily be euthanized. Now, I absolutely love them, but I'm very clear in pack structure. So I'm very clear in being the leader, and probably because I have a dog, if I wasn't, he would be dangerous.
Right.
Okay, if you didn't clearly make him at ease to know who's boss and have him below in the pack structure, he'd be unstable. So that's probably the biggest challenge, getting people to understand that in the dog world, there's never two equal positions.
Yep.
So when your dog is calling the shots, you are putting your dog up there as pack leader. And if your dog has any sort of instability, which I find a lot of humanized dogs do, or mm-hmm. a lot of domesticated dogs have you know, you've got your anxiety or your nervousness. There's not many dogs who have the confidence to actually take the alpha position and be balanced. If you don't take the leadership role, generally you're going to have some behavioural issues.
Yeah, right. Yep.
And when I get people to understand that, everything just falls into place for them.
Fantastic. So, and in the conversation, you mentioned that you have a passion for rescue dogs, and that's absolutely why we've got you here today. You're looking to try and help raise funds to build a new rescue centre in an area where you live, so around the South Yarra area, is that right?
Yeah, no, the rescue centre already exists.
Okay.
But yeah, they're actually not that well known. Everyone seems to know about the, you know, the Lost Dogs Home and Lord Smith and a lot of those rescue centres. And even though Save a Dog Scheme has been around since 1985, I believe,
mm-hmm.
no one knows about them. And I'm talking about people who live in Toorak.
Right, okay.
You know.
So, it's in
Glen Iris.
Glen Iris, just down the road. Yep.
So the thing that I find special to my heart about Save a Dog Scheme is their no kill.
Right, yes.
Okay, so that's something I'm very passionate about. I understand that there's some dogs, a small minority of dogs that you can't help. Okay, they've had such a traumatic life that probably you can't help them.
Yep.
But the majority of doing from the things I've seen in shelters, from what I saw when I was 15 years old and I did some work experience in a shelter, I saw lots of dogs being euthanized. Double the amount of cats. Now, cats don't have behavioural issues, okay? But dogs, you know, with minor behavioural issues and some of them no behavioural issues, just being euthanised, so killed, purely because we had a situation where the shelter couldn't house them.
Yeah, yeah.
And it just broke my heart.
And so you're doing something about it. You're trying to help the Save a Dog scheme. Now, your aim is to raise how much in this time around?
Yeah, we're aiming to raise $10,000.
All right. And now tell us how you're going to do that.
So how we've done that is basically we've got a dog walk. We've done it a number of ways. So we've seek sponsorship.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got some pretty awesome sponsors on side. And I should probably mention one of our sponsors is Meals for Mutts. One of our major sponsors is My Pet Warehouse.
Mm-hmm.
And myself is a sponsor. There's the Dog Nanny.
Yep.
And Pet Indulgence, which is a local groomer near the Paran Market. So we've got them. I've seek the generosity of my own client base, who have been extremely generous. And the other way we are fundraising is we're having a dog walk this Sunday, which is at Como Park, corner of Alexandra and Williams Road. And basically, it's very cheap to join in. It's $35. And what we want to do is not just have a dog walk. We actually want to start to connect with the community. Because what Paws for a Cause is about, we are looking to fundraise $10,000 for Save a Dog scheme, and we are looking to ongoingly do that. But our big picture, Paws for a Cause, biggest picture is to actually have an impact on the community in the realm of responsible dog ownership.
Yeah.
So what that looks like is we're actually looking, this is, I know it's a big, and I'm going to state it here, it's a big goal, but we're looking to be as big as Red Nose Day. Daffodil Day, you know, where the whole of our nation stops and they do something for dogs.
Mm-hmm.
So my goal would be that everyone in Melbourne, so each municipality has a team like we've done in the city of Stonington, each year fundraises for their selected shelter and does something like this. And, you know, that we have that Australia-wide one day. You know, where we stop and we really make a difference in the realm of dogs. And what we're hoping to do Sunday is start to connect with community I don't know personally, make a difference with them and their dogs, whether that's just having them be part of a community, whether that's helping them with a dog that, say, pulls them on the lead and they don't enjoy that experience, whether that is a dog that maybe barks at people or barks at other dogs. We want to help them in really quickly and make a difference. But, we're actually really close to, I have to say I'm very excited, we're very close to our fundraising target, which cool. I've shocked myself.
So this walk on Sunday is hopefully going to put you over the over the mark.
And then what that means is it'll cover our costs.
Fantastic.
You know.
So so it's a walk. It starts at 10 o'clock on Sunday down at Como Park, which is a lovely place. And I think the big thing you mentioned there is about linking the community together. We know as dog owners that one of the most social aspects of owning a dog is the fact that dog owners talk to each other, generally about their dogs, but it's actually a really social thing just to get down to the park and share walking your dogs. So it's amazing. So I'd recommend it to anybody.
Yeah, you're spot on. Most people that we would ordinarily walk past, as soon as they have a dog, we find that common ground and we end up having you're spot on there, you know, Chris, because and that's what I mean. Animals really do join community.
They do.
You know.
Do. All right. So we can get the details for the walk, Paws for a Cause, Como Park, South Yarra. It's all at mycause.com.au/events/pawsforacause or look up Michelle McClurg at The Art of Dog Training is the other way. You can find out information about everything about the event on Sunday, but also about the whole Save a Dog scheme as well. So,
yep. Thank you, guys. I really appreciate the opportunity to share this.
My pleasure. Thanks for coming in today, Michelle.
Thank you.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.